Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is the story of an early Portland man's wake. This particular wake actually worked. The fellow woke right up, and two young boys who were asked to watch over the deceased on a dark and windy night there in the 1890s, no electricity in the house, the wind howling in the shakes, it half scared them to death when the corpse started making noises. This story first ran in the newspapers on August 17th, 2009, a long time ago. Here it is. The Federal Writers Project was one of Franklin D. Roosevelt's 1930s depression-fighting programs. The basic idea was an oral history. Writers went to various places in the country and recorded on paper the stories of particularly interesting, colorful, and/or elderly citizens. About 100 of these were done in Oregon. Subjects include life in the old Aurora colony, pioneer miners in Granite, Oregon life in the 1870s, topics like that. One of the Oregon stories is provocatively titled The Maddest Man in Town. Although it's not the kind of history story that, quote, changes everything, it's worth looking up. The town in question was Portland, and the maddest man was an Irishman named Donovan. The story itself is an interview by William Haight with a Portland resident named Charlie Imus, conducted in 1939 when Imus was 60 years old. It seemed that in the 1890s, word came along that Donovan had died. Donovan's widow promptly sent for a priest to come and, quote, pray him out of purgatory, as Charlie put it, and Charlie, who was the local undertaker's son, came along to help. Soon the priest arrived, all the way from Vancouver, and a bit put out at having to do it. He set up the necessary candles at head and feet, and then, quote, again, this is Charlie, prayed and sprinkled water and prayed and sprinkled water some more until old man Donovan was prayed and sprayed right out of purgatory. Then it came time for the wake. Charlie and his friend Bill were delegated to watch over the corpse for the night, as some of Donovan's relatives and friends wailed and grieved over him, and others passed around a demijohn of something hair-raising and probably homemade in the other room. Meanwhile, Bill and Charlie were in the kitchen trying to keep watch on the body. It was a wild night. The house was sided with shakes and built nearly at the crest of a hill, and the wind howled when it hit the shakes. There was, of course, no electricity either. One imagines an old Queen Anne-style house lit only with a flickering oil lamp on the table between two wide-eyed boys. Quote from Charlie Imus, "The wind a-howlin', coupled with the wail of the wakers, sort of discommoded Bill and me," he said. "Bill was plenty scared anyhow. Donovan was the first corpse he'd ever been around. So's all that howlin' had Bill a-settin' mighty uncomfortable-like in his chair and kept me kind of on the uneasy side. All of a sudden, Bill and me heard the consarnedest noise I've ever heard," he continued. "Bill jumped from his chair scared-like and says kind of quavery-like, 'What's that?' Sure enough, 'twarn't the wind nor the wakers. That sound was a-comin' from that corpse." Charlie immediately thought it was the cat. This would be bad. A house full of bereaved relatives was depending on him and Bill to watch the corpse, and they'd gone and let the cat in? Well, it wasn't the cat, nor was it any corpse. In the middle of his wake, old man Donovan had awakened. The wakers collected the man formerly known as the deceased and wrapped him in blankets to warm him up. Quote, "Pretty soon he took a pull at the demijohn himself," Charlie recounted, "and was his wife happy? Everybody was real excited." Donovan was excited too, and until the next time he tried to go to mass. Quote, "The priest, being mighty set in his ways, wouldn't let Donovan nor his family go to church no more," Charlie said. "He figured Donovan had done pulled the trick of playing possum. And even if he hadn't, it looked like God thought the old cuss was such a sinner that he had to be sent back to earth. Anyway, the priest said he'd prayed old Donovan out of purgatory, and now he was beyond the jurisdiction of the church." Donovan actually lived for another 17 years before a speeding freight train ended his life, The whole time, Charlie said, he never stopped being mad at that priest. The complete story is available on the internet, and it and others like it are well worth reading. Just do a Google search for WPA Life History Oregon, and it will pop right up. That's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. You can access all those at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you feel like making a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and you can order it on Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. However, if you still have a community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources I used in writing this story. The podcast, like most Offbeat Oregon history resources, is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're ever in Corvallis, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger now. Our next show is going to be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.